And we're going to do a few more of them. This will be the last night we do this. Then we'll move on to probably what is happening in heaven right now. You know? What's going on there right now? It's an interesting study. Okay, so Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. What does God notice? And we've been going through mainly the book of Luke and finding these things and what the significance were. And we started with the one where he broke up the roof, and the four people broke up the roof and let them down. And it said the Lord saw their faith. And what we've been finding out is every one of these instances, it's another way to show God your faith. Because what he saw was somebody that would respond by faith to him. And if you want to please God, you'll never be able to do it without faith. Right? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And most of my Christian life, I didn't know what that meant. Right? I didn't know what it meant when God was looking for faith. I didn't know how to show God my faith, and I didn't realize where I needed more faith. And one of the ones, if you want to go back through this and go on YouTube or Facebook or Sermon Audio and listen to it, there's one called Fear Versus Faith, right? And a lot of people said that was very helpful, but the gist of it is this. Where I'm fearful, that's where I need more faith, right? So if you think about your life, whatever bothers you, whatever troubles you, whatever problems you're dealing with, that's where you need more faith, right? And for me, you know, I'm not a very confrontational person. So where I need the most faith is where the Lord says, go take care of that. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. What if they leave? What if they get mad at me? What if they, you know, do this or that? And the Lord says, no, you go take care of it. Why is it so you're so fearful? Why is it you have no faith? Just do what I told you to do, right? And you know that you have a problem with fear if you become a calculator, right? And most Baptists are calculators. They calculate. If I do what God wants me to do, then this will happen. Stop running formulas and doing algebra and just have faith, right? Yeah. All right, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, shew yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Lord, I come before you, and I pray, Father, that you would bless this study of the Scriptures and the things that you notice and the things that you look at, the things you pay attention to, and it all has to do with faith. And God, I pray that you'd show us in these incidents that happened in the Scripture, that you noticed, that stood out to you, that we could learn from that how to have greater faith in you and show you our faith so you would pay attention to our situation. And we pray this, that you'd help me to deliver this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he noticed the servant, he noticed the slave, he noticed here the sick, right? The sick. Now I want you to think about these lepers and their condition. They were outcast. They were away from their family. They were away from their kids. They were away from the temple. They were away from their place of employment. They were beggars. Whenever someone had to pass by, they had to cover their mouth and cry, unclean, unclean. They had to prevent everybody from getting within 100 yards of them. It's a very tragic condition. And at that time, there was no cure. It was a hopeless situation. There was no antibiotics yet. And I got to tell you, I've never experienced that yet. Okay? I have been sick, and most people my age, whenever they get sick, it's a temporary thing, right? And they have hope to get better within a few short days, a few short weeks. Maybe their leg needs to heal, but they have hope to be better, right? These guys didn't have that. And I'm not looking forward to, I know it's necessary for me to pass through this part of my life, but I'm not looking forward to the part where I get a problem that I can't expect to go away. Up to this point, the only problem I've had similar to that is maybe back pain. I messed up my back when I was 15, and there's no fixing it, right? And so I know what that is, a very, very, very tiny amount. But when you get, like my father did, diabetes, you get heart disease, right? You get something like that, that it's not just going to go away. And there's, we can manage it, we can go through life, we can, but that's not a good place to be. Listen, as I age and as we age, as everyone ages, you get to a point where it's just downhill, right? I mean, I woke up today and there were hair coming out of my ears. My wife said, "Huh, wow, I never noticed that before. You have hair coming out." I said, "What do I need hair out of my ears for?" But it's coming, right? And I guess it's good because it's cold and my ears get cold, but you know what being sick can do? It can bring feelings of isolation, right? It can bring feelings of desperation. Is that not true? You know what sick can do? It can bring feelings of discouragement. I remember talking to this family, and I went to Bible school with them, and he had a son, and he had just horrible disabilities. He had spina bifida, and he was not ever able to talk, and he would just sit in the wheelchair and yell out from time to time. And this was something that was going to be there as long as he lived, right? It was something that wasn't going away. And he said one thing that was very difficult for him was when we go out in public, okay, and I have my son here, healthy people just don't know how to respond to that. He said they don't mean anything rude by it, but they just look and it just makes them uncomfortable. It makes them uneasy. They don't know what to do. And he said, "I hate that." And he said, it's easier to stay home because I don't want to put this discomfort on people. And I've not been in that situation, but maybe you have, okay? These guys were in that kind of a situation here, and it can be a great burden that nobody seems to understand. These lepers, they were an outcast of society. If you haven't noticed, this world is designed for healthy people. It's designed for people that can move. I worked at a nursing home when I was going through Bible school, and it was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. But to see age and disease and how it brings people to a place of hopelessness. Literally, this is it. And it was very sad. But I learned a lot. And I got a lot of witness to people, and I got to be friends to a lot of people in that situation. But you know, Pastor Ashton, he works in the cancer ward and at the hospital, and he said there's so many people there, and they don't have hope because they don't have Jesus. And thank the Lord we have Jesus Christ, right? But you know, Mrs. Jones, she's Brother Jones and Sister Jones, when I got called to pastor the church, they called me and I stayed with them, and she was a wonderful lady, and she knew the Lord, and she memorized a verse a week for her whole life, and She had a very sharp mind, and she used to say, old age is not for sissies. She said, and she'd talk about all this food, and she said, I like it, but it don't like me. I just can't eat the things that I want to and I used to. And but as that age came and that isolation came, you know what we can do is we can start to think that we are useless, right? Have you ever heard somebody say this? If I ever get in that position, I told my wife, just shoot me. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I mean, every one of us has heard someone say that. Just when I get to that point, just please do me a favor and just shoot me. And I've heard that so many times, right? And I've heard sick people say, "What? If I'm confined, what good am I to God?" And I want you to know that God looked at these lepers before they were healed. And he spoke to them before they were healed. And not everybody gets healed, right? And God took interest in them. Listen, your value to God is not based on your performance. You know what we have to understand? That if I am in a wheelchair and I'm in a nursing home, I am no less valuable to God than I am right now. It's possible I could even be more valuable to Him there. And we don't think that way, right? But God noticed, and I'm so thankful that He noticed and He had time and He paid attention to sick people. There was a lady that came to church, and she had been saved, but she'd never lived for God, and she got a disease, and she was in the hospital bed, and she was laying there dying, and she was just scared. And I went to the hospital bed and there, because she wanted me to come and to pray for her. And she said, and she could barely talk, she said, I don't want to die. I haven't done anything for God yet. And I said, well, start right now. She said, well, what can I do now? What do you mean, start now? I'm on, you heard them, 48 hours. I'm almost out of here. What do you mean, start now? What can I do? And I said, look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. And I said, you know what you can do? Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. And this is our purpose. Paul is talking about the intent and the reason he's here. And this is one of the reasons he gives, and this, it just blows me away. But Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, he says this. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So one of my purposes is to make all men see the fellowship that I have with God. And then look at this in verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know what I said? I said, you're in a lot of pain, right? I said, and when the pain comes on the strongest, you know what you can do? You can smile and say, God is good. I love you. God is good. And then when you stand before God in 48 hours and you say, what have you done? Say, nothing. All I have is these smiles I can give you. But there was a lady, and her name is Joni Erickson Tada, and she's paralyzed from here down, right? And she says sometimes these cluster headaches come on and they're so powerful that I can't think, I can't do anything. And she said, all I do is I just sit there in the most dreadful pain and I smile. So when the demons in hell look and the powers that be look, they know what a good God I serve. Now, is there an instant, is there a time that you can't do that? Is there not a time in your condition of sickness or decay or limitation that you can't just look at God and smile and say, "You are such a good God"? And all the spirits, it said, to the intent now that the principalities in heaven might know the manifold wisdom of God. You know what that you can do? No matter what your condition is, whether you're a leper or not, is you can believe God and you can bring Him glory and you can know that you're no less valuable to God because of your physical limitation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. My spiritual ability is the greatest when my flesh is the weakest. My spiritual ability is the greatest when my flesh is the weakest. Listen, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God by the flesh. You do not have to have a healthy flesh to please God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. In the Bible, Paul talks about this thing that we all have a cross, right? And we all have a thorn. And we all have something that we just wish would go away. Right? I don't know what it is, but everybody has one. And it says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." It keeps you humble. It keeps you depending on God. "And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart me from..." I asked Him to heal me three times. And He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." He said, "I need this so you'll be strong." And He said, "Most gladly therefore will I glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I have a friend that asked me this, and this person asked me, and she said, I have this difficulty in life that I'm dealing with, and I don't know if I'm thinking about it the right way. I don't know if I have the right expectations from God for this. Am I looking at this the right way, this problem I have? Because I don't know if God's going to take care of it or if I'm going to have to live my whole life with it. There's a big question mark here, and I want to make sure I'm thinking about this the right way. So I said this. I said, let's say that you had to go through life without a foot. Okay? Now, do you think God could help you through life without a foot? Right? And as a Baptist, you wouldn't have any expectation to grow a new foot. Is that right? You're not a lizard. You don't grow new foot, right? So how God would help you with your foot would be in a way where you didn't have a new foot. Is that true? So I said, when people go through things like that, you know what they have to do? They have to learn to value the lessons they can learn from not having a foot, and those have to be greater value than the lessons they could have had by having a foot. Right? My dad taught me that. He had one arm. Joni Erickson, the lady we were talking about, you know what she had to learn? The spiritual lessons that I have learned by not being able to move from my ears down are of more value than what I could have got out of life having a body being able to move. And that was the thing that got her through. Fanny Crosby, she couldn't see. And you know the thing that got her through? Listen, I have learned more not seeing about God than I ever could have with my two eyes. And I am thankful that I'm blinded, because the first face I will see is the face of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? So if you're struggling with illness, if you're struggling with a sick family member, if you're struggling with something like that related to sickness, remember this, that I have to learn to value the spiritual lessons that I can get out of this to be of greater value than the health that I could have and I ask for and I want. Now let me give you something that maybe will give you hope. Listen, the Bible talks about hope. Is that true? Look at Psalm chapter 39 and verse 7. But Bible hope is not the same as American hope. Right? You know what American hope is? I hope I win the lottery, you know? I hope they put extra cheese on my Big Mac. I hope that, what a great idea. You know, I was thinking we're going to have this is completely unrelated. But we're going to have there's a missionary passing through on the 22nd of February on a Friday night. And so I said, well, if you're passing through, we'll get you a hotel. And can you speak to our men Friday night? Because he used to be a fireman. He's a really good speaker. And he's like, yeah, I can do that. And he said, I don't have to leave to Corpus till 1 on a Saturday morning. I said, okay, we're going to have a gals Bible study. Then can you speak to our women on Saturday morning? He said, yeah. And so we're going to be fasting for a week. And that Friday night when he comes, we'll be breaking our fast. And Pastor Ash and I were talking and said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to call it fast food, fast break, and fellowship. Just like the White House, right? And so we'll be able to break our fast with McDonald's. Great American food. I mean, all American team, all American food, that's great stuff. I'm sorry if you're offended. Oh, where we were, hope. Psalm 39 and verse 7. I thought that was a good idea. I haven't had fast food for like a year. That'll be a great excuse. You should have seen the football players getting all the Big Macs. They were so happy. Psalm 39, 7. This is the most entertaining presidency ever. Psalm 39, 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? Look at this. Psalm 39, 7. If you're sick, this is a good verse for whatever you're going through. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Listen, the hope that we have in God is not maybe. Right? It's for sure. I heard a quote from a preacher. It was on the radio last week when I was going home from church. And he said, when we ask something from God without wanting more of God, our prayers sound like the rantings of a spoiled child more than the prayer of a righteous man. Right? My hope is in Thee. You know what the Bible says? It says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what? For a Christian, when it comes to sickness, it's not if I'll be healed. It's when I'll be healed. It's when. Whether in this life or the next, you will be healed, and that's not a hope that will be confounded. That's a hope that will absolutely come to pass. It says, in this life only, if we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If only our hope in Christ is only in this world, we're of all men most miserable. Right? But the God, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before in the world the truth of the gospel. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath the hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Then Psalm 41:3, and we'll go to the next one. Psalm 41:3. And this goes along with what Paul was saying. Psalm 41:3. It says, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. And thou wilt make all his bed in sickness. He'll strengthen you on the bed of sickness, on the bed of languishing. Sometimes the best time that we ever spend with the Lord is when we're sick. And you know what God noticed? He noticed the faith to cry out. That's what got his attention, right? So if you're going through something, cry out to the Lord. And he'll look and he'll take notice and he'll help you. So he noticed the sick. Luke 19 and verse 5. We'll start in verse 1. 19:1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thine house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. It says in verse 5, and he came to the place, and he looked up and he saw him. And he received him joyfully, and then all the people murmured. And then in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. I was looking back over some messages I preached about this sermon, and I was younger when I came up with these titles, but I learned things I learned from a tree climbing midget. I've retired that title. The other thing this was probably more helpful. What happens when you go out on a limb for Jesus? But what caused the Lord to look up in that tree? Right? And I really believe it was the fact that he was willing to go out on a limb for Jesus. Right? To find out who he was. You know, people were in his way. People are always the one that keep you from Jesus. He couldn't see him for the press. They will get between you and Jesus, and if they can see more of Jesus than you can, they won't tell you. Why didn't they tell him? They're not going to fill you in. I've seen people turn down the gospel because their friends came up. Their friends are under conviction. They're under conviction, and their friend walks up and they say, I got to go. Zacchaeus knew there was something that his money could not give him. He was a rich man. He knew there was something that his position couldn't give him. He was chief among the publicans. He knew something there was his peers could not give him. He was a son of Abraham. He knew something that his religion could not give him. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he found out that not only was he so short that he could do backflips under the bread and glide on a Dorito, but he was also short of the glory of God. Zacchaeus in Greek means pocket-sized publican. But he found out that Jesus Christ was the only way, and he ran before him and climbed up into a sycamore tree because the Lord was to pass that way. He knew where he could find him, right? And you know what I noticed? Most people know where they can find God. And if you're here, listen, if you are here and you don't know God, and you're not close to God, you know where you can find him. And you know who Jesus notices? He notices the people that are seeking him. I was in Bible school, and I lived at 2338 Shoal Creek Drive, and I lived in a little duplex with some Bible school friends, and I had a scripture sign in the yard. And one day I was coming home from work, getting ready to take a shower, and I hear this knock at the door, this desperate knock. And I go out there, and there's this man. He's probably 35 or something like that. I was like 18 or 19 at the time. And he's crying and he's weeping. And he says, I got to find God. I said, well, how'd you know to come here? And he said, there's a scripture sign in the yard. He said, I know you got these signs and you're always talking to people about the Lord. He says, I know you know God and I need to find God. And I said, what's going on? And he said, my kids have been taken away from drug use and all this. And I got to find God and to get these kids back. I said, well, whether you find your kids and get them back or not, you need God. You need to be saved. And I opened my Bible and I showed him how to get saved. And he got down in that living room, there was no furniture in there, and put tears into that carpet and received the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he brought his wife to church and she got saved. And he got his kids back and they went to church and they got saved. The whole family got saved. But he knew where he could find God. And over throughout the ministry, you know what people do? They come and they know where they can find God. And your neighbors, hopefully they know who you are and they know where they, and that you're a light shining in the darkness. But you know, Zacchaeus, he knew where he could find God. And God was looking and he was watching and he said, this, if any of you... It says this in Jeremiah chapter 29, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me. Seek you the Lord while he might be found. You know, in Luke chapter 15, that prodigal son, he spent all, right? And he came to himself and he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. And it says, while he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and kissed him, right? Listen, if you're far off from the Lord Jesus Christ, come back, come to the Lord. If you're having problems, listen, I don't know what you're facing and if you don't have wisdom, but if you get God involved in that situation and you're looking for him, you'll be able to find him. You'll be able to find him. And then, lastly, the serving. Look at Mark 21:2. Just go to Mark chapter 12 and verse 41, and we'll take the story from there. I like it there better. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto him, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. They which have cast into the treasury, for they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This is what supposedly the treasury looked like, right? And the rich people would come in and cast in much. And you know, the Bible says in this passage, it kind of alludes to it, but it also says in Matthew 6 that when you do your alms deeds, you're not supposed to sound the trumpet before you go before them and not let the right hand know what the left hand does. And you know what the rich people would do? This place is made out of stone and it's made out of rock and this thing. And it said they would sound their trumpet before they came and gave the offering, right? And so they would come and this thing set up to echo, and you put it in and clink, right? And they would sit there and just keep putting money in and money in, and it would be echoing all through this thing, right? And this widow woman came in and she just put in two cents and it didn't make any sound. And Jesus called the disciples over and said, look at what she did. She cast in more than they all, right? You know what Jesus notices? He doesn't notice the portion, but the proportion, right? And he notices people that want to serve him. There are so many people that say, I would serve the Lord, but I don't have any time. Right? It's not the portion, but it's the proportion. And if you don't have any time and you make time to serve the Lord, he notices that. If you don't have anything to give and you give anyway, he notices that. The Bible says this, God loved the cheerful giver, and he pointed this woman out, and she didn't even know that he was watching. She didn't even know that he was talking about her. But look at what it look what it says here. Look at Mark chapter 12. You're in Mark chapter 12. Look at verse right before this passage in verse 41. Look at the verse before. He talks about the people that devour widows' houses for pretense, make long prayers, they'll receive the greater damnation. Right? And then the widow comes and gives. And then look what happens in chapter 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And you know what I love about the Lord? This woman was giving to an organization that the Lord came and he didn't like what was going on, right? And she was giving, and he commended her for giving, but he was also looking at the people and how they received it. Not only was he looking at the motive of the giver, but he was looking at the motive of the receiver. And since they had the wrong motive, he judged them and blessed her. Right? And you know what that tells me? The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them. And you know, sometimes where we get so worried, well, what is this doing, and what is this, and what they spend this on, and what they, right? And you give, and you think that you have to follow it all the way to its destination, right? But you know what God shows you here? He blessed that widow woman, and then he tore down what was built with the offering. He judged it, right? But he commended her. And the Lord is watching, and he's looking, and he commends people that serve him. The other lady that, and this is talked about everywhere, and then the other woman, she came and brought that year's worth of salary and the alabaster box of ointment and broke it over his head. And the Lord said, wherever the gospel is preached, this will be spoken of as a memorial for this woman. You know why? The Lord pays attention and he sees when people give to him and when people want to serve him and go the length. He saw the motive. They did it to be seen of men, but she didn't. And he blessed her. And what a blessing that is. She gave towards something that he was going to destroy, and yet he blessed her and commended her. Look at Hebrews 7 and verse 8, and we will close. Here's what I'm trying to say. If your heart is pure, and you want to give to the Lord and serve the Lord sees that, right? And if there are churches or individuals that will take advantage of poor people, and they'll take advantage of people that want to serve, listen, God is going to receive that act of service from you, and he will also hold them accountable. And we serve a God that can be, he takes care of everything, and he's so good, right? Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 8. Here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Right? There he receives them. And even if the people here do the wrong things with them, there he receives them and it's witnessed that he liveth. All right. We'll close there. Lord, we come before you. Again, we thank you for our word. We thank you for the people, Lord, in this Bible that have faith enough. to pay attention to you and call out to you and give to you, Father. And this woman had faith to give you her two mites, Lord. And I pray, Father, that if there's anybody here that's sick or that's listening online that's sick, Father, I pray, Lord, that they could put their hope and their confidence in you, and they know that you can be just as pleased with them, and they're just as useful to you as if they had a healthy body. And Lord, I also want to pray for the people that are seeking, that they would be found, you would be found of them, Lord. And I want to pray for the people that were serving and giving, that they would be encouraged in this. We love you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.